We continue our reading of the Gospel of Matthew, coming today to chapter 9. We'll read chapter 9, verses 1 to 17. It's chock full of wonderful accounts in the Galilean phase of Jesus' ministry. There's three of them. The first is Jesus' healing of a paralytic. Now, we know from other Gospels that he had friends who wanted him to come to Jesus because they believed Jesus could heal. They couldn't get in the door, so they went to the rooftop and they bore through the roof and they lowered Jesus. This very dramatic scene. Jesus teaching in this crowded room, and they lower a man before him. And Jesus declares that he can give the man what he needs the most. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. He was making a point. Even a person who's paralyzed has the greater need of being forgiven his or her sins. Do you realize that's your greatest need? Now, the Pharisees and other leaders were there. They thought that was blasphemy. Who can declare forgiveness than God, other than God himself? Well, that was rather the point. And so Jesus responds by saying, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise and walk? And when the man rose and walked, his ability to forgive sins was rather established. Now, the second episode is one of my favorites in Matthew's Gospel. It's where the author records his own conversion. All of us should love the story of our conversion. This was very brief, but for that reason, very potent. Because Levi, the tax collector, becomes the apostle Matthew, is the chief tax collector in the city, in the town of Capernaum. Capernaum's Jesus' headquarters on the Lake of Galilee. And so Levi would have seen it all. He would have been located at a central place. He would have heard many of the sermons. He would have seen some of the miracles. He didn't care about any of it. He cared about money and power. He was totally unregenerate. He was like the people that we're going to be seeing in Jeremiah, who had an uncircumcised ear, an uncircumcised heart. He didn't care. He didn't have the ability to hear. But Jesus intended to save him. And here, this is a classic proof text for what's called the doctrine of effectual calling. In verse 9, Jesus simply said, follow me, and he rose and followed him. That's how people are saved. The call of the gospel must go out. There must be a witness. There must be the presentation of the gospel. But Jesus exerts his sovereign power, and he takes away the heart of stone. He gives a heart of flesh. He sovereignly saves. Now, what encouragement this gives us to witness the gospel to anybody and everybody. If you were to say in Capernaum, who's the person least worth telling the gospel to because he couldn't be saved? Levi the tax collector. No, preach the gospel to him. Because Jesus enters into the gospel and he saves those whom he sovereignly wills. But then Levi, now Matthew, he throws a party, as it were. He gathers his fellow sinners and tax collectors and other people, and he brings them to Jesus. Now, this episode is used today in our churches by those who say that we should be accepting of moral aberrations, that the church should therefore be tolerant of prostitution and homosexuality and other things. Because, look, Matthew brought them to Jesus, and Jesus met with them. Yes, but it was to Jesus that he brought them. It wasn't really a party. It was a church service. And the point of it was not to indulge in sin, but to lead them out of sin. Now, it's certainly true that everyone is welcome to Jesus. Everyone is welcome to the church of all kinds, however shunned you are by society, maybe even somewhat rightly. No, come. Jesus says, I desire mercy and not sacrifice. But we don't gather to revel in sin, but to be delivered from it. That's what goes on here. It's a great passage. Briefly, at the end, you have a question about fasting. Pharisees come and say, how come you people don't fast? Our people fast, yours don't. And Jesus reminds them what it's like to have the Messiah in their midst. It's a source of joy. We have every reason to be a rejoicing people, but it requires a new birth. Jesus says you can't pour new wine into old wineskins. That the joy, if you want the joy of the Lord, you need to be born again. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus. Well, let's give ear then to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, Matthew 9, 1 to 17. And getting into a boat, he crossed over and came to his own city. And behold, some people brought to him a paralytic, lying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. So when the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, follow me. And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? But when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Then the disciples of John came to him, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch tears away from the garment, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever. Amen.